Man, thank you, Warren, for the challenge. I understand you've been doing creation for quite a while now and in depth on that, and appreciate that. And I thought more of you would be down in that young couple's class, but I guess not. Yes. And I'm part of that class and glad to be part of it too. The time change, you think this might be our last time change? Well, they'll enact a law that it'll be daylight savings times. I don't know, we'll see. Now, when we were out west here this winter, we have in the United States, we have Eastern time zone, Central time zone, Mountain time zone, and Pacific time zone. And we were right there between Mountain and Pacific for a while, so there'd be an hour difference. But one of those states doesn't do the time change, and one does. So there could be a two-hour difference between that Mountain and Pacific time zone. Now, I've got an appointment at 10 o'clock. Is that 10 o'clock your time? 8 o'clock my time? That's weird and confusing. But I guess you know and you live there and you understand it all, and you do that. I, too, would like to thank all those who came out for church cleaning yesterday and just put a freshness about our church, a deep cleaning. And the time that you put in, I know some put in time before yesterday and cleaning the cracks and crevices of the pews and the baseboards and the lights and the windows and just a freshness. And appreciate the if you put in your time to do that, that you sacrificed your time. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Well, I gave this challenge to the ambassadors on January 17th of this year. And Jim Bowman said, Brad, you ought to teach that to Sunday school. The ambassadors will forget it by then anyway, and they'll need to be reminded. And he said, that was a good challenge. And, you know, again, I'm one of the ambassadors, so I'm right there with what he's saying. You know what I'm saying there? But turn in your Bibles to Psalm 120, if you would, please. And so you ambassadors, this may be a little bit of a reminder and maybe a little bit more in depth on the Sunday school lesson, but appreciate the opportunity to teach Sunday school. And Psalm 120 to 134 are 15 worship songs created for pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate a national feast, Passover, Pentecost, and the Tabernacles. So there's 15 worship songs. Your Bible might have an ascription or might ascribe these songs as degrees. My Bible says in front of Psalm 120, a song of degrees, and it says that all the way through 21, 22, all the way to 134, a song of degrees. Now, what about your Bible? Is there another inscription? Is there one besides a song of degrees? Could be called ascent psalms. Does any Bible have that in there? Ascent? Yep, going up. Or they might be called step psalms. And it's the idea of pilgrims on their way to worship up to Jerusalem, that they're stepping up to Jerusalem. It indicates the steps taking the pilgrims up into the temple. So Psalm 120 is the very first step in this pilgrimage to Jerusalem to worship the Lord, whether it be the Passover, Pentecost, or Feast of Tabernacles. I once read a quote from an author, "Whatever the enemy wants to do to you, he uses people to do it." Whatever the devil wants to do to you, he uses people to do it. There's a lot of truth to that. Paul mentioned something to the Ephesians about the devil and his fiery darts. They were real to him, and they're real to us. Sometimes it's an unkind text. Perhaps you caught an eye roll, maybe from your mate or a close friend, a hateful facial expression from a coworker. Maybe it was an unkind word from a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe you walked into a restaurant and you spot your friend at a table, and he's sitting there with your least favorite person. Your friend is with that. Fiery darts. One day you're going along as happy as you please when a stranger cusses you out for trying to change lanes. I think Jerry and Gretna went to Atlanta here last couple weeks, and the traffic down at Atlanta, I know what it's like, but it's been years since I've been down there. I can just only imagine what Atlanta traffic is. Now, I know Jerry drives like me. Man, I'm looking at this farm field. Man, he's got some weeds in that thing. And I'm looking over here. Man, they just logged that out. And, you know, I'm driving slow. You know what I'm talking about. And oh, man, that fence needs to be repaired. And, well, you can't drive like that in Atlanta. They get mad at you in Atlanta. And I could just imagine Jerry doing that. Now, Gretna, you're right at home. Fast Gretna, you know. But, you know, put me on a tractor pulling track, and I want to go as fast as I can. But put me on the road, and I'm slow. I'm sorry. I keep telling my guys at work that we drive slow. Take your time. When we're fully loaded in the morning with our pallet of fertilizer and weed killer, all that extra weight is less stopping distance, and all the morning traffic, and we're mostly headed east, and the sun's in our eyes. Take your time. Drive slow. But sometimes people don't like that. And I get passed a lot on no passing zones. I just drive slow. But it happens. It happens. Sometimes those fiery darts come from ones you most love. Words flung from people you are supposed to trust. Those are the hardest. Those are the hardest. Let's look at Psalm 120. And see what this pilgrim is, what's going on in his life on his way up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. Psalm 120. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty, with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Can you put yourself in the sandals of this pilgrim who has just come through a war zone? He stands at the bottom step of the temple. His knees are feeble. His arms are hanging. The man is spent. He desperately needs a kind word from God. When you are in this kind of season in your life, the only comfort we have is the word of God. It's the word of God. So this sojourner, this pilgrim, on his way with his family, no doubt friends and other worshipers, is having a time. Let's look at it. Psalm 120, verse 1, a little closer. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Distress, this word distress means rival wife. Rival wife. Like Hannah and the insult she got from the rival wife, Peninnah. She was taunting her all the way to the tabernacle. Hannah yearned for a kind word from God. The word distress also carries the meaning of pebble. Have you ever tried to walk with a little pebble in your shoe? It's distressing, isn't it? What is so distressing to this pilgrim? Verse 2, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. He was harassed by people that taunt him with bold-faced lies and sweet words that had a sharpened knife. Our pilgrim in this story pulled into the church parking lot, feeling like he'd been through a war zone. I'm pretty sure he wanted to put it into reverse and just head home. Have you ever felt like this? So beaten down, so downtrodden, but now he realized he was home, maybe the safest spot for him. Verses 3 and 4. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper? God's judgment will be done to the one with the false tongues. God's judgment will be like coals of hot burning tree. It burns hot and long, is what verse 3 and 4 are saying. Verse 5, he says, woe is me that I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in tents of Kedar. Woe is me, he cries from the first step. Mesech and Kedar were barbarian tribes with a reputation for being wild. Some people are always spoiling for a fight. They quite enjoy starting fires. No doubt our pilgrim worshiper had come through a string of bad days, like a certain apostle who was troubled on every side, distressed, persecuted, knocked down, Apostle Paul. Sometimes it never lets up. You pray, you plead, you beg, you cry, you practically crawl, but no help comes. The pilgrim in verse 6 and 7 goes on, my soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. The pilgrim is being bombarded constantly with one who hates peace. This pilgrim is for peace, but not his adversary. However, unfortunately, this psalm does not end on a positive note, you see. You know, he's distressed. He's beaten down. He's on his way to worship the Lord. And all these things are happening to him, and it doesn't end on a positive note. However, the very next step, Psalm 121, offers a better view of things. Let's look at that now. Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So we got this pilgrim, man. I mean, he's beat up. He's had it. He's being lied about, truth untold, being put down. He's trying to worship the Lord. And the next step is, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My source is true. Our source is true. Theirs is a lie in verse 1. Verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. My strength and hope comes from God. The God who made heaven and earth sustains it and will help us. Man, that's a comforting thought. Warren's teaching about challenges about creation. The God who created heaven and earth sustains us and will help us. Verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He's wide awake. He sees what's happening. God knows exactly what is going on in your life. He doesn't sleep. Verse 5 and 6. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He's right beside me, protecting me. Shade is like protection. Think of being in a hot desert and you get in some shade. Man, it gives you protection. It comforts you. God is that way. The Lord watches over the believer all the time in every circumstances, verses 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. What encouragement. The Lord watches over the believer all the time, in every circumstance, good or bad, and forever. What I'd like to say also about the distressed pilgrim, this weary traveler, is that he is not alone. Remember, he's going to worship the Lord in Jerusalem. His family is with him, no doubt. His friends and neighbors and other people are there worshiping, going with him. They understand. They've been there also. They have scars too. Know that they are standing with you on the first step, linking arms in arms, holding you up. It's the same for us. It's the same for us. We're not alone in our circumstances and our problems. There's others that have gone before and are going through the same things. Now, I'm just as convinced, just as Satan uses people to throw his fiery darts at us, God uses people to strengthen, uplift, encourage, and help bring us along. God uses people to strengthen, uplift, encourage, help, and bring us along. Think with me now. Every time we meet at church, there's a pilgrim. Maybe it's a weary pilgrim, a traveler who pulls into the parking lot distressed. You've been there. I've been there. He has a rival wife, a pebble in his shoe. He's distressed. He's beaten down. He's discouraged. Let God be the one who he uses to give strength and hope to the weary traveler. Let God be the one who he uses to give shade and protection to that weary pilgrim. I think of each of you where you sit in church and the people who pass by you. Look for the weary traveler. Listen to the pilgrim. Speak a word of encouragement. I have in my mindset someone driving in and parking in the parking lot, and they're just beaten down, discouraged. And they're thinking, man, do I even want to go into church today? You know, we've all been there. And there could be someone there right now. A smile will go a long way to a weary, beaten down, worn traveler. Just a simple smile. A simple smile. A kind hello. Man, I'm glad you're at church today. How's things going for you? A kind gesture like this just might be the thing that helps somebody. Just something like that, man, to a weary traveler. Brian Heimer was born in 1961. He's the same age as me. This story brings a lot to me. He was born in a small rural farming community in Nebraska. He was a high school football, basketball, and track star. His senior year football team won the state title in Nebraska. He had honors in each sport he participated in. He was an all-American boy. Brian Heimer was a member of the National Honor Society. I've heard of that. That's all I know about it. He worked on the school's newspaper and yearbook. He was elected prom king his senior year. He was an all-American boy, 1961. He could have went to and played at a number of small colleges, but his lifelong dream was to go to the University of Nebraska and play for Coach Tom Osborne and the Big Red Machine. You guys that know football and girls, the Big Red Machine Nebraska, and Coach Tom Osborne was a high-touted traditional school. They haven't been the same since he left as coach. They just haven't got back to that. The Big Red Machine. I can imagine any boy growing up in Nebraska, that was their in sports, that was their lifetime dream, is to play for Coach Tom Osborne in the Big Red Machine. He was a walk-on in 1981. That was the same year I went to college. He didn't catch a pass in his first year with the freshman football team. He wasn't invited back to the varsity team the next spring. But he convinced Coach Tom Osborne to reconsider that. He was redshirted that next year. And in 1983, the following year, was listed as the number 10 tight end for that team. However, he worked his way up to the third spot, and he earned a scholarship and shared the number one position. He caught 12 passes for 174 yards and led the team in touchdown receptions with four. Now, that's not much for this time of in this era of football, but back in Nebraska time, that was a lot. Nebraska was a run team. Run, run, run. They had the pitch option run with the quarterback, and that was a big thing for them. And he led that team, caught 12 passes for 174 yards, led the team in touchdown receptions with four. He was a mechanized ag major with a 3.3 GPA. Heimer was 17 hours away from graduating. He was an All-American boy. He was truly an All-American small hometown boy, a hero to many in his hometown. His town had plans of honoring him after his senior year. People respected and looked up to him. Kids got their pictures with him and autographs. They looked up to him, Brian Heimer. With that, this being said, it was a total shock and numbness this community heard of Brian's dad, finding him out back behind a barn, slumped over with a .22 rifle next to his side. That was 4 p.m., and he died the next morning of a single bullet wound to his head. Unbelievable, shocking to his family. Nobody saw this coming. Nobody saw this coming. Family, friends, neighbors, coaches, players, the community where he lived. With seemingly everything to live for, he sadly took his life, and we don't know why. We don't know why. Was it because of the high pressure of big-time college athletics? Man, I know a little bit about that, but not big time. I mean, there's a pressure these guys face to perform, to practice, and there's a big-time pressure for that. Was it part of that? Was it the college academics that he was facing? We don't know. Was it his personal life, a girl problem? We don't know. But I do know There are people just like Brian all around us, hurting people, Christians and non-Christians, pilgrims and travelers that are hurting, weary, and beaten down. Look for those weary travelers. I'm going to say it again. Listen to the pilgrim. Speak a word of encouragement. A smile will go a long way. You don't have to say a word, just a kind smile to somebody. Don't do that to the person that cusses you out that you're trying to pass or whatever. That just antagonizes them. A simple smile will go a long way to a weary, beaten down, worn traveler. A kind hello. I'm glad you're here today. How's things going for you? A kind gesture like this might be the thing that helps somebody. It just might be the thing. Now, here are the highlights in our few remaining minutes of the rest of the step psalms. Psalm 120 to 134. We won't go verse by verse by all of them, but I want to just look at some of the highlights as this weary traveler's traveling, and he's looking for help. And we're in the same shoe. We can put ourselves in the same shoe. We saw what he was in 120. We see his help cometh from the Lord in 121. In 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Man, are you glad that you can go into the house of the Lord? We should be. Verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the Bible tells us. Man, in these step psalms, there are some nuggets in here for travelers, pilgrims, worshipers going up to worship the Lord. There are some nuggets in here. One of the nuggets I got out of that was pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We should do that. Psalm 123, look to God. Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O that dwellest in the heavens. Look to God in our problems and our situations. Verse 2, behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until they have mercy upon us. Look to the master. And verse 3, have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. He says it twice. Have mercy upon us. Ask God for mercy in your situation, in your circumstances. Ask God for mercy. Mercy. Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help is in the Lord. Psalm 125, verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Trust in the Lord no matter what happens. Trust in the Lord no matter what happens. Verse 4, do good, O Lord, unto those that be good and to them that are upright in their hearts. Have faith in God. Psalm 126, trials will not last forever, is what the whole Psalm 126 is talking about. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. What you're going through will not last forever. It will come to a pass. It will not last forever. I can remember standing up here in March of 2022. Is that when COVID started in 2020. Time goes by. Ambassadors forget. But I can remember standing up here and say, this too will pass. This too will pass. And it will. We're still seeing effects of it, but it will pass. Our trials will not last forever. Psalm 127 is a psalm, a song of degrees, rich in things. I have a thing for each of the five verses. Except the Lord build the house. The Lord, in verse 2, he's a keeper. In verse 3, he's a sleeper. So the children are inherited to the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. No, that verse 2 is he's the sleeper. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. And so, man, this is rich to me. We're talking about this weary traveler. And as he's ascending up to Jerusalem to travel, there's psalms. And it just builds up and builds up. And he gives sleep. He gives sleep. Man, it's a blessing to have sleep. And it's just a blessing to have sleep. And he goes on in being fruitful and direction. And happy, verse 5, is a man that hath his quiver full of them. Shall not be ashamed, but they speaking about children and arrows. And happy is the man. Rich, verse Psalm 127. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Fear the Lord and walk in his ways. Fear the Lord and walk in his ways, he says to us. Psalm 129, verses 6 and 7. Let them that be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, with withereth afore it groweth up. That's like saying, all them that are against you, they're going to wither like grass on a rooftop that has not moisture. That's going to wither. It doesn't have the moisture. It doesn't have the soil, the holding water, holding capacity and the nutrients, and it's going to wither and it's going to dry up. They're going to dry up. So those that afflict you will not last. It will not last. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord through your trial, through your pilgrimage. His word is hope. Psalm 131, verse 2. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. The contentment, once that newborn babe is weaned from his mother, and there's a contentment, and he's telling us to be content in verse 2. Psalm 132, verse 7. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. They're getting closer and closer to Jerusalem. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Worship God at church. Worship God at church. Boy, we get in the habit, don't we, of worship. But worship God at church, he's encouraged us. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Man, when you're beaten up by the world and you're lied to, lied upon, bad things are said about you, the last thing you want to do is come into church and have that same thing happen to you. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Not only doctrinal unity, but man, unity in the gospel of Christ, in the church, unity of the brethren. Psalm 134, verses 1 through 3, the last song of degrees. This is how it culminates and ends, all the way to the worship of the Lord. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. This is how these songs of decrees, ascent psalms, or step psalms end. Bless the Lord and praise the Lord. Man, I hope this has been an encouragement to you. It sure has been to me. And just, man, this guy, Brian Heimer, I came across his story, never heard of him before, and it really spoke to me. And how many Brian Heimers are there around us? Man, let's be an encouragement to one another.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. The walls of Zion.